Hi, welcome, Qiaoqing. She's also fondly known as QQ. Semicolon spaces is about the pauses in life and the choices we make. These pauses became new path. Ordinary people like you and me can be pause makers too, with your extraordinary stories, and QQ is one of them. Wherever you are, post burnout, pre-breakthrough, welcome. You belong here. I'm your host, Linda. After years of managing children's eczema, QQ founded Little Warriors, a clothing brand for babies and children with eczema, allergies, and sensitive skin. Her goal is to help other families who are going through similar tough times. So I can't wait to hear more about her wonderful mission. So good to see you, QQ.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Welcome. So maybe for a start, QQ, might be a tough one, since you are a working mother. Since you woke up this morning, did you manage to take a pause? Was the pause intentional?
I'm kind of worried whenever people ask me about these things because, yes, as a working mother, no, actually I don't like that term because all mothers are working. As long as you are a mother and you're taking care of kids, you're working. And for whoever mothers out there, pauses are so hard. And I find the mornings the hardest because when your kids wake up and then you're in a rush to prepare food, get them out the door, start work, and then start on this podcast. So unfortunately, not yet. I don't think I've had a pause today yet.
Since we're talking about pauses, and it sounds like it's been really hard to get one. So, what has been the hardest pause you have ever made?
Ever since you've invited me to this podcast and I've been thinking about pauses, I've reflected on my past decade ever since I became a mother. And I was thinking, what are the ebbs and flows that have been happening? And I came to realize that actually the hardest pause and one of the longest pauses I've ever taken in my life was a pause on myself. Ever since I became a mother, me as QQ has taken a back seat. Before kids, I had aspirations, had hobbies, had dreams. Mostly in the corporate sphere, I had dreams of who I want to become. And then gradually, as the moment I got pregnant, something in me switched. So everything was about the kid. When the kid came out, everything I did, everything I planned for, everything I thought about was for the kid and for the family and how to make my kids better. Then I realized that as I sat down to think, who is QQ now? Who has QQ become? And at times I really struggle beyond QQ's mother. I'm a mother of two girls. And what else am I?
Wow. Very very vulnerable sharing. Thank you, QQ. So tell me more about the QQ before kids.
Wow, I hardly recognize her anymore. I hardly remember her. I think innocent. Used to believe in a lot of things. Used to think that world is not that bad. Nothing scares me. And I can do so many things. But the QQ after kids, like you say, very vulnerable. Because the moment you have kids, it's like having your heart and the most precious thing about you live outside your body and go out to this world where you have such a lack of control. You love these beings that you created so much, and then you let them out into this scary world. So I realized that I haven't been as trusting as before. I doubt myself a lot. And this is a very common theme among mothers, this self-doubt, self-guilt. And I question myself a lot. Whereas I used to be confident, I used to be one of the youngest managers in the company. I used to think that I'm small, I'm young, I can do so many things. But the moment these kids come out And I start benchmarking myself and I start valuing myself from my kids. I get fulfillment and valuement and achievement from how fast my kids grow, whether they sleep well, whether they eat well. And to be honest, a lot of these things are beyond my own control.
Wow. Yeah, the guilt piece, I definitely concur with. Tell me more about your kids. How old are they? There are two girls, right, you mentioned?
Yeah. So I've got two. One is 9 and the other one is 5. Both my kids were born with severe eczema and multiple allergies. When I had my first child, I've always had mild eczema as an adult. It was annoying, but I could live with it. Then the moment I had her, at 1 month old, she was covered in rashes that I didn't know the cause of. So brought her to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician told me that that's eczema. Your child has eczema. And that was when guilt came crashing full on, because I have eczema. My husband doesn't have eczema. So immediately my first thought was guilt. I gave her that. Then began years and years of trying to find cures, trying to find natural ways to help them. And when the second child was born, I thought I had it under control. Again, I had a lot of false hope that this time around it's going to be better. I know better. I can handle it much better. The second child was born with much more severe eczema, and this time multiple allergies. Her allergies were so severe that they were anaphylactic. So we have been admitted to hospital for anaphylactic reactions, and these means it meant that she couldn't breathe. It was so severe that even airborne allergens, just like walking past a bakery, the smell of wheat in the air could trigger her. And we were living in so much fear and anxiety for the past few years. But I'm happy to say that she's getting better. Mm. We are managing it. I wanted to say managing it well, but I think we're surviving. We are learning along the way. And I guess what's most important is that my kids are happy. I'm holding a lot in. I really try as much as possible not to show them how scared I am, how anxious I am every day. But that's what it is. Being a mother is such an anxiety-filled journey.
What has changed after the kids came, the multiple allergies, eczema, challenges that you have? Like, how has that affected your lifestyle as a person, not just as a mother?
Who knows that your precious child's life can be taken away in a second just by food is life-changing. So when my second child was almost 2 years old, we were having breakfast. She grabbed one of my slices of bread. I knew that she couldn't have bread, but I wasn't that anxious because she was just playing with it. She ended up licking it a few times before I took it away from her. And that was all it took. Just a few licks of the bread. She went into an anaphylactic reaction. She was struggling to breathe and I called the ambulance and we were admitted to hospital. So just the thought of your precious child being able to lose her life to bread. And then subsequently we realized that she's allergic to so many other things. Fish, sesame, dairy, soy. And these are things that are present everywhere. Well, as every other parent would know, that we suddenly get anxious about roads. We're afraid of bad guys out there. We're afraid of traffic. We're afraid of weather. But my child can be killed by food. That thought itself is life-changing. I haven't gone by a day where I don't get anxious about losing my child. And that's the reality I live in.
They are so precious. I love your girls. And I know you do share quite a lot through the work that you do at Little Warriors. I want to focus still on you. What else changed within you apart from being more worried, anxious, almost frightened, right? From the way you shared, frightened for not just your kids, but also how is the family going to survive?
That's a great question. I fundamentally stopped trusting.
Oh my God.
It sounds very scary, but I fundamentally stopped trusting anybody in anything in this world.
You're not just talking about food labels, right?
I'm talking about everything. I don't trust anybody. Because there are many people with good intentions out there. Most part of the world are not out there to kill your child. But all it takes is a well-intentioned person to offer something to my child to be able to take her away from me. And I fundamentally stopped trusting anybody. That changed me a lot, and it is honestly very difficult on my family as well. I became the primary and the default care person, the default caregiver of my kids. Nobody else can give them food except me. Everybody has to go through me, and I have to give the green light. It is so stressful on not just me, but the people who are trying to help me as well. I know I've got friends and family who are trying their best to offer their support, but it's very hard for me to accept support and help when I'm dealing with a very delicate and fragile situation. So oftentimes I end up pushing away help. I don't want anybody to touch my kids for fear of them doing something wrong. And because I'm such a controlling and uptight person, I have to admit that many people walk on eggshells around me, around my kids too. And it hasn't been an easy situation for us, for me, and for people around me.
I can't imagine what you're going through, and has that become better?
It's definitely better. I'm not as anxious as I used to be. And it's a great question. I was reflecting on what were the changes that happened? Why am I being less uptight now? I think two reasons. One is that the girls are older, and I have been teaching them a lot. So I empower them. And since 4 or 5 years old, they know exactly what they can and cannot eat. My older daughter, by 7 years old, has been able to read full complicated ingredient list. So she is my right-hand man. I trust her more than anybody else. So if Mei Mei wants to have a food, and if I'm not available, I will tell her, check with Tete. At 7 years old, she is able to look at any package and tell me whether it is safe for her and for her sister. And for the younger one, she's 5 now. I have always taught her to advocate for herself. If somebody offers her something, ask first. Can I have this? Does it have these ingredients? If she's unsure, she will always check in with an adult, and she will always check in with me. So them being able to advocate for themselves helped. And the other reason is also, in the past year or so, I have started to focus more on myself. I realized that by taking care of myself and by loving myself, somehow my capacity to love and to relax expanded. It's strange that just by loving myself and pouring into myself, I started to become happier. I started to have a more positive attitude towards things, towards life, towards people. And I'm starting to see a shift also by me being more positive, more carefree, less uptight. My family seems to be much happier too.
I'm happy you got here, QQ, and I think it's probably still work in progress for all of us. Again, you're not the only one. Do you feel like you're going to something new?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I sense that. Tell me
So
more.
like the pause that I have felt, the pause
Of
on QQ
yourself.
as a person, for the past decade, I feel like I am picking up the momentum to search for who QQ is now. Because the QQ that was 10 years ago is no longer there. She's changed fundamentally. Now, the QQ that I am and the QQ who will be in the future, I feel that I'm searching for her. I don't have the answers yet. I struggle with what I like to do. Because if you ask me, what do you like to eat? My first thought is what my kids like to eat. If you ask me what I like to do, my first thought is what my kids like to do and what I like to do with my kids. I absolutely struggle with what I like to do as a person. But I think I am trying and I'm figuring it out. So little things like on weekends, I would prepare breakfast for myself. So on Sunday nights, I would take 20 minutes. I would prepare a nice breakfast for myself so that despite the whole chaos in the morning, I would start off the week with something healthy for myself. And on weekends, on Saturday mornings, I would take an hour to go for a yoga class. And that's how I end off the work week and start the weekend with something just for myself. Not for the kids, not for the family, something that just me alone.
I love that. Keep doing it. What do you feel like you have to let go before you create a new you?
Wow. What do I have to let go?
Yeah.
I've always known myself to be a very controlling person because I'm anxious. I like routines. I like familiarity. I like my comfort zone. I don't like new things. I think fundamentally being able to let go of control, especially for my kids, and letting them go out into this world and explore and letting in help. That's what I need, and I hope that's what has been happening.
What is your definition of success? Is there one? Is it important?
I think that I've actually peaked in my life, in my achievement. I don't think I can peak beyond giving birth to two kids and raising them. I feel like my life is at its highest peak now, being able to survive these early years of bringing these two kids up. So my definition of success is, unfortunately now, still the kids, which I'm aware is not a very healthy thing because, again, there are many things that are beyond my control and I don't have the answers. I'm figuring it out. I'm still benchmarking myself against other mothers out there, other kids. I'm still valuing myself based on how well my kids are. If they are healthy, I'm successful. If they are happy, I'm an achiever. Other methods of success and for myself, I have to tell them I don't know. I don't have those answers yet.
And I don't think there's one answer for everyone. I like that you focus your small successes with your kids. Because a lot of people forget, they put their identity in like work, in like doing this and that, getting bigger salary, biggest title. So it is not unfortunate to me. I actually admire you for being quite selfless at some stage. The kids are young. So what better time to like be there for them than now, right? Mm. So I really admire you for that, QQ. What do you fight for? Am I wrong to assume that it's kids?
Oh, definitely not wrong. I fight for my kids. I fight for advocating for them. And with my business now and the community that I've built online, I fight for families who are struggling in the same situation. So with the onset of internet, I've actually been told that women in the past don't complain as much. Women in the past are hardier. They take on so much hardship and they don't complain. And by virtue of the fact that I share openly about my struggles, some people see me as being weak. And I want to say that I'm still here and I'm still advocating, because I think changes only happen when people are aware. I want to make the world a better place for other kids who are struggling the same. I hope that by speaking up, sharing, spreading awareness, advocating for them, maybe in 10, 20 years when they are adults, this world would be a much more inclusive place for them. I set up the Instagram account Little Warriors about 3 years ago.
3 years ago versus now, how do you feel about the community that you've built? Do you feel like people are a bit more aware of what's happening with a challenge like yours?
Now, after 3 years of speaking with mostly mothers who are in the same situation, I love this community. In the past, we all have families and friends who try their best to help us, and they would say things like, just be more positive and then things will get better. So as much as they are trying to help, they are not providing the support and the acknowledgement that we need. But by creating this community and speaking out and sharing real struggles, I have reached out to this network of mothers who are struggling in the exact same boat. And it feeds me so much. Somebody else is not sleeping at night because their kids are scratching and they are dealing with blood every day and they are dealing with anxiety and fear. Just having that acknowledgement that, yes, it's hard. I see you and you see me. It's very assuring. Mm-hmm. And these mothers and I, we come together and then we suddenly feel not as lonely as before. Of course, there are many other people who in the online community would have snide remarks to us and said that in the past, people had it worse. In the past, women could do much more. But just by sharing and creating this community and letting mothers know that we're not alone, I think it's helping so, so, so much.
If there's one thing you want to tell your community on through this podcast, what is it?
That it's hard, but you're not alone. Everybody is struggling. Everybody is fighting for their own survival. But if we reach out, we'll know that we're not alone. And sometimes all we need is that acknowledgement that we're trying our best.
Love that. Thank you. So coming to the present day, like what anchors you now?
Wow. What anchors me? You mean like what gives me stability?
Because life is chaotic, right? Life is can be complicated. Right? What keeps you anchored?
The old me, because I have always been an achiever, what fuels me is to tick off to-do lists. I love doing things and taking off to-do lists. But in the chaos of everything now, I crave and I love silence. So things like having active mental recovery. So like how in sports people have active recovery, I feel that as mothers and or as people who are constantly working our brains, it is important to have these active mental recovery. So I find that I am my best, I'm in my most creative mode when I am doing mundane things. So I'm most creative in the shower. That's where all the ideas come to me. I have the most ideas when I'm driving. So when I put on a podcast, so I love podcasts, I put on a podcast and I get inspiration. But unfortunately, I can't type down these ideas while I drive. But I get so many ideas when I drive and I listen to relaxing music. So these are, to me, the little times throughout the day that I find a bit of stability, reevaluate the things that I do, and then I come up with plans for how to be better tomorrow.
I love that. In complete boredom, we are the most creative, right? And I'm sensing that you got some of these great ideas while you had a mental break, a pause.
This day and age, it's so hard to find that pause because the moment we are bored, we take out the phones.
Yes. So
it's hard to find even times of boredom now. So unless I'm showering, so I can't use the phone, or I'm driving and I cannot use the phone. So these are times when my mind is able to wander.
I love that word, wander. Okay, now we focus on the future. With your one wild and precious life, I ask all my guests, what does your next decade look like?
I wish that my next decade would be happier, less anxious. And of course, with my two girls, I love watching them grow up. I love watching how their little minds develop. I love when they challenge me with questions. They have lots of philosophical questions at this age, and I love it. Mama, why does this happen in the world? Mama, why do people turn out like that? Why does the world happen like that? I see the next decade of me and the girls growing together, developing together, finding out the answers, and just being happier together with less anxiety.
I can't wait to see how what the new QQ will look like. Might be the same, might be very different. My final question would be, semicolon spaces is about stories like yours. Everyone has one. Who should I interview next?
I would love to hear from successful mothers. Because I feel that mothers operate on a different level as fathers. So there are many successful men out there. And one of the key reasons why men are successful in the workplace is because they have an awesome support system at home. But mothers who are successful in life, in careers, in the community, also have to juggle so much more at home. So if and when there are successful women out there, I feel so much in awe of them. Because I know that these are the women who are probably up at night breastfeeding. They have a mental inventory of the number of diapers they have at home. And at the same time, while they are juggling meetings, they are also communicating with the preschool teacher for next week's cupcake delivery. as we all are. So, successful mothers. Really, really hats off to these women. And I would love to hear more from them.
In fact, I have a few lined up already. So I hope you can listen in too. They have great stories. Thank you, QQ. It's been such a treat to talk to you. You've always been one of those person that I admire from afar. I follow all your Instagram stories. I'm always here to support you. I am so happy that you are one of my first few guests on this podcast to share your journey. And I'm sure you're not alone. A lot of mothers or parents, let's not forget about the father, may feel similar challenges. So I hope your story can also help them to discover a piece of themselves that were in the past, or maybe create new ones ahead. So thank you so much, QQ. Anything else you want to share?
On the, Linda, the work that you do is important. Being able to allow people to share their stories is important. And being able to listen about genuine stories is so important, because in this day and age, we have such short attention spans. We are fed like 20-second clips all throughout the day. To be able to take time to pause and to listen to stories, such an important thing to do.
Thank you. Early days, but thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
Yay.
Play date soon.
See you.
See you. Bye.